The levée en masse was also extremely important. This, no, one sees in this the beginning, I think, of modern nationalism. It is in the levée en masse. It is in this notion of the citizen in uniform, of citizens fighting for themselves, for their nation. Something that the Jacobins had indeed created, that the Committee on Public of Public Safety had encouraged. This sense of a France for the people, France for the nation, all belonged to this nation. So this sense of a beleaguered population drawn together to fight, not for monarchy, not for the old order, but for something new, for the people, for the nation. It really does represent the beginning of modern nationalism, and we'll have certainly plenty of opportunity to talk about it. And it was seen this way by the other crowned heads of Europe. This was seen as one of the most subversive aspects of the entire revolutionary era. It wasn't simply the excesses of the terror, the massive executions, the committees of surveillance and all of this. It was this idea of the citizen in uniform, this idea of sovereignty residing in the people and not in the monarchy that was so frightening to so many crowned heads of Europe. But just as this air of national emergency seemed to justify extreme measures, when that national emergency passed, then it became increasingly difficult to justify the measures advocated by the Committee of Public Safety. The very success of French arms meant that the situation eased, the emergency eased. And as a consequence, then the factionalism within the revolutionary regime once again emerged. So why, if these were the reasons for the success of the terror, why did it ultimately fail? Well, one is the point that I've just indicated, the end of this, not the end, but the waning of this national emergency, the success of French arms. But the terror itself also, because of the extreme factionalism that it provoked, Robespierre versus Danton versus Hébert, and so on, we'll go through the various plots, subplots, and so on of the individuals. Robespierre's use of one ally against another, the beheading of this faction and that faction, so that very few people felt safe. The revolution had indeed begun to devour its own. Danton executed, Hébert executed, and so on. This created a great fear within the convention, a fear that could no longer be sustained in this air of waning emergency. In 6 weeks, in June and early July 1794, 1,300 people were executed in Paris. This was the real denouement of the terror. This was the point of that finally would provoke a reaction. It would provoke a plot against Maximilien Robespierre, who was himself arrested at the end of July, and like so many other thousands during the revolution, executed, guillotined. The terror had come to an end. The commune was disbanded, the Committee of Public Safety stripped of its powers, many of the Jacobin clubs were closed down, and even wage and price controls were removed, all a reflection of improving times and greater security felt by the revolutionary regime. The people of France wanted a relaxation of tension, to put it in the crudest, baldest sort of terms. Let me close with this observation about the terror. I want to comment about Maximilien Robespierre, because he really does represent a new type, a new figure in European politics. He certainly was bloodthirsty, associated with the worst excesses of the terror. Robespierre was devout. He was a true believer, a fanatic, the first real ideologue, I think one could argue, to make his mark in European politics. He would certainly not be the last.